The Spinoff Podcast Network. Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q Quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today. Nair is public interest journalism funded through New Zealand On Air.
Nau mai, haere mai, whakatau mai rā. He kōna ipurangi tēnei I pāna ki te ao Māori me te ao hurihuri. I'm Leonie Hayden. This is a podcast about being Māori in the modern world. Welcome to Nair. Engai iwi katoa, nei rā te mihi kia koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā rā tātou katoa. He uri a haunō Ngāti Whātua, ko tuirangi te maunga, ko makarau te awa, ko māhuhi ki te rangi te waka, ko Ngāti Rango te hapū, ko Leonie Hayden a hau, Māori ora. Kia tahuri atu ki te kaupapa o te rā. Nei, our first episode is about te reo Māori. Now, I have to stress this isn't a podcast series about te reo Māori. There are already some incredible language podcasts out there, but we decided to start here because it's a kaupapa that is so central to who we are as Māori, both in positive ways and sometimes in pōuri ways, in ways that make us sad. There's been a lot of discussion in recent months about who should and shouldn't have access to our language, and I played a little bit of a part there by writing a feature story for the spin-off on Lord's Te Reo mini album Te Ao Marama. Now, I hated that it made people feel pōuri and whakamā. And I also hated that the Matanga Reo, the language champions and experts that helped make that album, were treated really disrespectfully. And honestly, I find it to be an almost unsolvable puzzle. Like, I want non-Māori to understand our language and stop being hysterical jerks when it's used publicly. I don't want non-Māori taking places in te reo classes at the exclusion of Māori. I do want young Māori to grow up in a world where they're never embarrassed to use te reo and it's normalised in every aspect of their lives, which has to include pop culture. I don't want Māori artists to continue to be paid less than their peers and have their waiata Māori ignored, but a non-Māori artist is dubbed brave and celebrated for using it. And so, you know, the layers continue on through our whakapapa, depending on where or how the language was robbed from your whānau, hapū, iwi, or if you were lucky enough to grow up in it. Those experiences create quite different feelings about te reo, and yes, the best way to heal is to move forward and use all the resources at your disposal to change things for you and the future of your whānau. But not everyone has the privilege of time, and not having that adds to the layers of guilt we carry, and so that cycle we were forced into by the settler state is perpetuated again and again. And the worst thing is, it turned us against each other, which to me is another win for colonization, you know. I wrote in a piece for the spin-off a couple of years ago when I was feeling a bit sad about my reo journey. I wrote, my grandparents were beaten for speaking te reo, and I have taken that patu and beaten myself over and over again for my inadequacy. What a legacy, what a gift for colonization. Hand them the switch and they'll beat their own backs. But like it do be like that. We are so hard on ourselves, and then we take that and we're hard on each other. One thing I think that doesn't help with the shame some of us feel is this idea that having language is binary, you're either fluent or you're not. So it always seems like no matter how much of the language you have, you're not there yet because someone else can always speak more or better than you. And people who don't have much te reo think that I'm a fluent speaker if I, you know, just do a basic mihi mihi, and I'm not even close. And then I think anyone else that can have a conversation for longer than 5 minutes is fluent. Like, are they? I mean, it depends on the conversation. They're asking each other about getting ready for school, then, you know, that's fairly basic. If they're discussing complex feelings or ideas, and that requires a pretty vast vocabulary. But I would hear either and think, oh, you're fluent. Oh, shame, I'm not. And I think it's something that we as like quite a stubbornly monolingual country really needs to disabuse ourselves of. You know, most Europeans speak multiple languages. All of our migrant communities in Aotearoa do. Language is more of a spectrum, and you progress along that spectrum with use. If you have even the smallest amount, you're on that spectrum, I guess. And at least for me, that's a concept that actually makes me feel better about trying and failing, you know. Ka taia te whakatika te reo hapa, te taia te whakatika te reo ngū. You can fix language that is broken, but you can't fix it if it's never spoken. So my co-hosts and I, whom you'll meet in just a moment, are on different parts of that spectrum, different parts of that journey. We're going to have a kōrero about that as a way of introducing ourselves. One of us speaks at a very advanced level and two of us don't. I'm obviously one of those. And even as these words are coming out of my mouth, I feel whakamā for even leading this podcast when there's a more advanced reo speaker than me on the team. So what's the tikanga? Well, stick around and maybe we'll find out. No mai hoki mai anō. It really is my greatest pleasure to introduce my friends and my co-pilots on this kaupapa. Mariana Johnson, nō ngai tahu me rangitāne, is an award-winning journalist and broadcaster whose voice many of you will recognise from her incredible work at RNZ, where she was a major component in helping to reframe te ao Māori news for the state broadcaster. It's not easy to pull a waka of that size around with its massive, predominantly Pākehā audience, but her work covering issues like Ihu Mātau and Oranga Tamariki brought a long-absent Māori lens to current affairs in the mainstream, and I think she's been absolutely instrumental in moving the dial there. Also joining us on this haerenga is Te Kuru o Te Marama Dews, nō Ngāti Porou me Ngāti Rangitihi. He's a multimedia content creator who can do all the things. He films, he edits, he hosts, he narrates, he writes, he translates. Te Kuru is currently director of Mātahi Media, but before that was a journalist with Māori Television for 5 years. His reo videos and astute lens on social issues on Instagram have also earned him a huge following, so go over there, give him a like, and learn a thing. Aku mehi ki a kōrua, nō ki te hōnore, ihika mā. Mariana, kia ora.
Kia ora, kia ora kōrua, o tērā, kia ora koutou. How exciting! Our first podcast. super excited to be part of this project. You said all the nice things, so I don't have any really much more to add. I was at RNZ for getting close to 4 years. It was definitely a good solid three, which was amazing. With news journalism, with all of its raru, you know, it's a difficult, hard job, but you get access to the most amazing people and you get to be a part of the most amazing events like Ihu Mātau, life-changing.
You guys had an awesome team over there as well.
We had such a cool team. Shout out Taniwa, Mani, miss you guys. They've got more Tani in the team now, so awesome. We're gutted about that now. We had all wahine hard for a while.
Yeah.
Powerhouse team, and just love being part of a group of driven, passionate wahine who just, you know, want to improve how the mainstream tell our stories, and also take back our rangatiratanga to tell our own stories, because, you know, I mean, I don't need to tell you guys, like, that's been just like sadly so absent from the mainstream for so long. Just us telling our own stories. Right. It shouldn't be new, but it is still.
Yes. Kia ora te kuru. Welcome.
Kia ora. Tēnā kōrua. Tēnā tātou.
Kia ora hoa.
Kia ora. Mm. Welcome to the team. Welcome to the Near Posse.
Yeah, thanks for that amazing intro. got to live up to all that now. But no, really, nōku te waimari e kua whai wāhi atu ki tēnei pāe kōrero. Hei whakatinana i te ira tāne i tēnei o ngā, ngā ropu, ngā engari mihi ana ki a kōrua. I a kōrua mahi, i te ao papāho, tātou e whakapono kaha nei ki ngā hua ka puta, ki te whakapuaki ngā whakaaro o te ao Māori. So yeah, really happy to be here and looking forward to getting into some good kōrero.
Hi. So we're going to be sort of changing up what combination of the three of us appears on this podcast over its lifetime. Sometimes you'll get all three of us, sometimes you'll get two of us. You might even only get one of us if the other two are feeling lazy. but we are all on this waka together. But we are, as I sort of mentioned at the top of the podcast, we are at quite different stages on our reo journey. Tikura, you are obviously our expert. And then, Mariana, where are you at?
Oh, it's so funny because for a while there I was doing it in a very linear way. You know, I was going through the different taumata at Te Whare Wānang or Aotearoa. But last year I started Opikitanga, taumata ono, which, yeah, it was also the year that COVID kicked off and I just didn't feel, I felt like I was getting to a point in my reo haerenga where I wanted to give it my all and I couldn't do that when I was doing part-time classes. So yeah, I should probably rewind a little bit. I won't take you through my whole life story, but footnotes, I didn't grow up with my reo. I was thinking about this last night, how I was always real shame when I was growing up because mum would use random Māori words and I'd always get real like whakamā, like we'd be in the supermarket and mum would be quite loudly, I think that wāhine is hapū. I was like, mum, why are you doing that? Why are you using random Māori words? But it's cool. Like she was using what she knew and I was just being, you know, a too cool kid. But yeah, it wasn't until actually my last year at uni, of my undergrad, I thought, man, you know, I should just like do a paper, you know, like break through this. I don't know. I felt like it wasn't mine. Like I wasn't Māori enough to have the reo. Like I didn't feel like there was my place to take up a seat to learn, which is obviously silly now, but you know, that's where I was at. Took a paper, loved it. And then a year later, I was like, oh, I'm going to start doing te reo part-time at Te Whare Wānanga o Aotearoa. So I don't know where I would describe where I'm at now. Like I can converse, but like still pretty basic. I'm pretty rusty because I haven't been using it regularly. Mm. But ate rātou, fingers crossed, I'm going to be doing hiki reo at Te Wānanga o Raukawa. So full immersion for a year, man, which has been a moi moi of mine for ever since I started this haerenga 5 years ago. So super excited.
Love it. And Tikura, you are straight kohanga reo kura kaupapa kid, ne?
not that that's like a straightforward pathway, but yeah, no, very lucky to be been brought up in the movement. Whānau is pretty staunch in the movement, so it's like, you know, it's not like you have a choice as a four-year-old. But we loved it. I loved kohanga and, you know, some of my mates from kohanga and kura, keep in touch today, quite a few of us. Some of us are all in Māori media as well. So, yeah, I was just listening to Mariana and tēnā koe o kōrero e hoa.
Kia ora.
Awesome to hear that you're on that journey and going to Raukawa, my whanaunga up there in Ōtaki. They'll be happy to have you. It's when I think about my own real journey, I was just thinking about uni as you were talking about papers and things like that. And te reo is probably, I've done a lot of things in my time and it's probably the only thing I've given like 100% to. I can hand on heart say that it's the thing I'm most passionate about. And probably from a young age, I've always put in a little bit extra for te reo. And that's what's put me down the path that I'm on. And, you know, I've been interested in other things, but for some reason it's, you know, this urgency or of responsibility and trying to sustain it. It's always kind of been in my mind as, oh, well, that's the main thing I'm doing and everything else is is just trying to help me get there kind of thing. So, yeah, I love te reo. I love the way that it articulates our whakaaro in a way, well, in the way that's, you know, natural to me. I wish I had learned other languages as a young fellow. I tried, our kura was pretty big on Spanish because one of our women's hockey team, my sister's team, they were much older, they went to Argentina. So there was this big period where they learned Spanish and mum went with them and, you know, they're all speaking Spanish and stuff like that. But that didn't stick with me when I was at high school, unfortunately. But just how languages opens up is what I'm talking about, how it opens up your perspective to the world. And yeah, there are people out there that can learn, can speak 9 languages. So it's just really trying to connect to other cultures through language, and I just find that te reo is a constantly evolving journey, and the more I learn, sort of the less I know kind of thing, but it brings you sort of that deep connection to Aotearoa because our reo is unique to this place. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I wouldn't say I'm an expert. I think that's relative, whatever room you're in. So we don't throw around that term too much.
Aye, that's true. And I sort of talked about that a little bit earlier, that we do tend to think of language, te reo Māori, as a binary, you have it or you don't have it, which I personally think is a really unhelpful way of thinking about it. It's ingrained in me. I do kind of feel that way, but I know that it's not helpful to feel that way. Because, as you say, it's all relative and it means you're always going to think someone else has it and you don't, no matter how much you have. You wrote your thesis on reo in the home. Can you tell us a little bit more about, like, what the thinking behind that is?
Well, first of all, I would urge caution before anyone does that much academic study. No, you have to be really passionate about it. Yeah, right, master's, eh?
Was it 20 to 40,000 words?
Yeah, yeah, it was between there. Because
I found it really helpful. You sort of summed it up in a kōrero that you did for the spin-off where you said that everything else is just a supplement to speaking in the home, your classes, your books, your podcasts, whatever. That's all just tools to use in the home with your whānau.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and when I started my research, which was a long time ago, the kōrero was known back then, but it still wasn't quite mainstream, but now it's very much in the mainstream and acknowledged in most essays that will talk about te reo and survival, that it has to be intergenerational language transmission within the home is the most important thing for any kind of endangered language. So that includes Māori, because we are vulnerable on the UNESCO endangered languages list. We are either endangered or vulnerable. It's hard because they're not taking stats anymore in the New Zealand census, but we know that within the home, yeah, I think they stopped. 2013 was the last time they stopped.
Was that because they butchered the census? I'm not going to get too political.
I don't know. Well, you know, it might be because it shows, you know, the lack of, that we're an underserved community. Lack of funding. So it's, in the home is, everything else is a little bit, it's extra. Although we do want to normalize it, we want to create a future where we can speak te reo inside the home, outside the home, you know, at the shops, with the shopkeepers, everywhere, at the movies, I don't know what people do, out in the bush. But it has to be at home for us to get there. It has to be in everyone's homes. That's my belief. And the linguists around the world, that's the view that they share as well, right? About the three. It needs to be transferred from, you know, from kuia, kraua to mātua to mokopuna. So 3 generations, and then it's secure according to the experts.
No pressure.
Yeah, hard. And what do they say? Like, takes 1 generation to lose a language, but 3 to get it back, which is exactly what you're saying. So for so many of us, when that tie has been severed, you know, naively when I started my reo haerenga, I thought, oh, yeah, like, you know, I'm going to be matatau one day. And then all, you know, that I would have brought reo back to my whānau. But it's so much more than just you as an individual going out and learning the reo. You then have to teach it to your tamariki. They have to speak it. Then they have to teach it to their mokopuna. And you hopefully are alive to see that intergenerational link restored. But it's such a big part of the bigger picture that I think when you start out, you often don't consider, which is why I loved your kōrero te kura. It's like, this is bigger than just you. I mean, it has to start with you, but it also needs to carry on to really bring that ill back to what it once was.
Well, so after the break, we are going to have a chat with our very first manuhiri on this podcast. She is going to talk to us a little bit about her reo journey, about sharing the reo with others in real life and on social media. So we'll see you after the break.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spinoff. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spinoff member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Hoki mai anō, our very first guest on this podcast is a māma, a musician, a kaia ko reo, a reo teacher, and a content creator who makes anti-racist and crack-up content for Instagram. He uria no whaingaroa, mole whanua la lovi, whale la tai, me vai moso. Please welcome Jordan Rapana, aka Jordan with a Y. Kia ora, hoa.
Kia ora. Kia ora, tēnā koutou.
Tēnā koutou, kia ora. Mai.
Morena, morena.
So you are a kaiako and a content creator, do those things sort of like go hand in hand at all?
Yeah, I guess so. I actually got my kaiako job after I made a few videos, so I was kind of lucky in that sense that I'm not deemed too inappropriate for the workplace. Because I think some places are a bit like iffy, but I think it aligns with I think my bigger picture, like anti-racism, tino rangati ratanga, mana motuhake, that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think it aligns.
And whereabouts did you start? Were you sort of raised with the reo?
No. I grew up in South Auckland. I lived in Wellington for a little bit. My dad was actually adopted. He was whangaed out because my nana was just really young when she had him. My nana's Pākehā, my papa is Māori. I've grown up always knowing them, but my dad reconnected with them when he was 22, so we didn't grow up with reo, not very connected to our hapū or iwi or marae. So that's all just been a journey, I guess, in my later teen to adult life.
And what like changed for you? When did you make that sort of conscious decision to get on the waka?
I'm really grateful to my dad because when I was in high school, everyone was learning French. And so I was like, yeah, I'm going to learn French. He was like, nah, bub, are you French? I was like, no. So he made me learn Māori. And I started to learn like very basic te reo Māori in year 9. And I ended up really loving it, so I stuck with it throughout high school. Kind of left it for a little bit, and it wasn't until I was in university, and I was sitting in a paper with Margaret Mutu, and I was learning about Tua Iwa Rickard. And I had no idea that she was my auntie, and that she was from Whaingaroa. And so seeing and learning about her whawhai, and then going, it just like, I think it just spoke to my puku. Awesome. And I think that was maybe 2011, 2012. And so since then, I've just been on a massive journey of firstly reconnecting home and then went to a full immersion kura in 2019 just to kickstart that reo reclamation journey. So I started off as a tino amateur and now I'm just an older amateur in te reo Māori.
Yeah, it's that immersion space is sort of what we're all chasing, yeah. That's what you're sort of heading into next year, Mediana. I'm trying to. I didn't get into the school that I wanted to go to, so I've got to make other plans. But really requires a lot of time privilege, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So I was lucky that I had a lot of time. And actually me and my husband tried to do it together, but it just wasn't possible for us. We needed someone to make money because we got two sons as well. So if you do have the time privilege and the money privilege and you can do a year, 100% do it, but it's not the only way to reclaim. And I think I learned that actually this is a lifelong journey. You know, I went in really naive thinking, I'm going to reclaim my reel in a year. And now I'm like, I'm in this for the long haul. Yeah.
Same, Kari. I thought like, I was like, yeah, so in 4 years, like, yeah. I'll be mother though. Like, no way. Like,
I feel
but you don't, I mean, like Takuru was saying earlier, like you, the more you learn, the less you realize you know. Like,
exactly.
There's just so much more that you can learn and just upskill how you kōrero as well. Like you can, I mean, you can get to a point where you can carry a kōrero, but like it's actually about how do I make this really like a whakaaro Māori? Like how do I put this concept out into the world in a Māori way?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah, that's still turning, for me, whakaaro Māori. Mm. That's been the biggest thing, I think, since establishing basic sentence structures is now turning toward, I think, whakaaro Māori, and I'm noticing the small changes. And even talking to my son, because he goes to kohanga, so the way he thinks is so different to how I think, and it's, a real teacher to me.
How important did you feel like doing full immersion was for you? Like, how much did that level up your reo? Like, do you think you'd be where you're at without doing that, going on that haerenga?
I think immersion, in any sense, whether it's a year or a week or a weekend, whatever, I think immersion accelerates your learning. Anytime that you're able to be immersed in anything, not just reo, like any learning, will completely accelerate the learning. So it was definitely a very fast-paced type of learning for me. And then we quickly implemented that at home. Kōrero Māori at home and with our boys. So it's been the best strategy for me and for my whānau and for the way that we are doing the reclamation journey. And then I'm aware of other friends who just incorporate kupu Māori, like a new kupu Māori every day or every week that they just consistently use. Mm. But immersion for me was it and still is it.
Okay.
Speaking of Te Kupu o Tera, you and your brother made some really crack up content for Te Wiki o Te Reo.
Yes.
It was naughty. It was very funny. Videos like talking to people about the difference between ude and udi, not to get them mixed up. What was the motivation there for making sort of instructive educational type content, but making it a little bit on the nose?
Yeah, I think because those are mistakes that we make all the time. And both my brother and I, we teach the same class. So we have good energy. I think we just wanted to bring the energy that we have in our classes and just kind of spread it to the people. Just on common mistakes that we all make, just to make it feel, I don't know, fun and funny. Because I think when people attach good feelings to something important, maybe they're more open to wanting to learn or to take something a little bit more seriously. Mm. When it feels judgment-free, eh?
Aye.
Mm.
How do you do that, e hoa, as a kaiako? How do you, because correction is a big topic these days, being the ability to be corrected or, you know, learning how to correct people on the other side of it, learning how to correct people without takahi te mana tangata. So what are your kind of rautaki that you use as a kaiako, you and your brother, to correct people without sort of trampling on their dreams?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's definitely something that has to be super intentional. So for us as kaiako, we don't do the correction for quite a few weeks. Our thing is just kōrero. Use whatever kupu you know, however you know to use them. And as we're teaching sentence structures, we just find a bunch of different ways for our students to use them. And then eventually, once we're more immersed and more comfortable, once we've built trust relationship, then I'm able to tell them, I preempt them. So before anything, I just let them know, I'm going to give a couple of corrections, but I'll wait till the end so I won't single out a person. I'll just wait till the end till everyone's, you know, said something, because usually they're mistakes that everyone makes. So I try to keep it quite general like that. But yeah, I think it happens in safe spaces that you have to build, and in good relationship that we also have to build. Yeah.
Kia ora.
But it is hard. It is hard, I reckon.
Mm. Yeah, good question. Because pronunciation is also a big one for, I want to say for everyone in Aotearoa. It's Māori, it's Pākehā. It's because we've had the wrong way of saying things just ingrained in us. Unless you're lucky enough to have grown up in Te Ao Māori, then Rangitoto lives there in your brain, and you have to kick it every time you go to say it, unless you say it every day correctly.
Yeah.
What is, have you got sort of ways of helping people sort of just unlearn that terrible meter that's been drilled into us?
Repetition. Repetition has always helped. I think the more, like, I will never, if I'm talking to someone who is mispronouncing, I might not correct them, but I'll always say it properly. And I will never, so I have lived in Remuera for a couple years, and a lot of people do not know that it's called Remuera. And so they're like, where? And I'm like, it's by Newmarket, Remuera. And it, Remuera. Yeah, Remuera. You know, so I just, I just keep saying it properly.
Repetition.
It's like the old passive. Yeah. The passive correction, eh? It's like, I'm going to correct you. I'm not going to make it obvious I'm correcting you.
Yeah.
But then the worst is when they just say it back to you with the, like, terrible pronunciation again. Like, and it almost, to me, it feels sometimes like defiance. I was like, no, this is how I say it. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. I give up.
Yeah, Tiree Plains.
Tiree Plains. I grew up on the Tiree Plains.
I lived in Orake for a while, and
Ōrākei.
I actually didn't realise that Ōrākei and Orake were the same place.
Yeah.
I thought Ōrākei was a whole other suburb somewhere else.
I didn't know Kiratahi was Karioitahi. I did not know. I would have thought, oh, is it Kiratahi? No. No. Some of these mispronunciations, eh?
One of the big ones is Lake Canary. Have you guys heard of that one?
No.
Carl.
Lake what Canary. It's Kanieri.
Oh, my God.
But it almost,
kei te Waipounamu. It's like near Hoki Tika Ways, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tika Wara is the one for me. Tika Wara.
Tika Wara.
Tika Ufata.
Anyway. Oh, my God. Are Tika Wara and Tika Ufata the same place?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So brilliant, eh? Paraparam, paraparomu.
Yeah. Mind blown.
I feel like we could go in so many places with these.
We could just go on a hikoi around Aotearoa doing this. Yeah.
Shoot, that really blew my mind. And one last thing that we're going to talk about. So we touched on it just before, but Te Wiki o Te Reo, I just think its existence is a really interesting thing, because Merianne and I have sort of talked about this before. We're not 100% sure we understand who it's for, what it does. What are your thoughts on sort of it existing versus it not existing, and what does it actually do for our people? What does it do for Māori?
Yeah. That's a big question, eh? Just a light one to...
You got 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's... I think Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori for me before I had my reo was very important. And I can't say who it's aimed at. Maybe it's aimed for everyone. Like, maybe it is aimed at everyone. And I think once you are on the receiving end of it, it's just what you do with it, eh? It's how you participate, how you choose to engage. I choose to make the most of it because I think celebrating Te Reo Māori in every space is amazing, and it works for my whānau. So I am very much about, you know, celebrating. And I think we get such small ways and spaces to actually celebrate being Māori and to celebrate our language in terms of the mainstream, like in terms of Aotearoa whānui and what we're mostly surrounded by. Anything for me that highlights and celebrates and elevates Te Reo Māori or anything to do with Te Ao Māori is a win. And I think I can totally understand that for some people it pushes buttons. And I think that is a conversation that we need to be having as well alongside the celebration, is that for a lot of people it brings up a lot of trauma and a lot of mourning, which I think is very important to talk about alongside. I don't think we have to have I don't think the two have to, you know, you don't have to have celebration and not mourning. I think we know how to do both really well, actually. And we just got to bring it in to the way that we're celebrating Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori. We just got to learn the same way that we do tangihanga, and we know how to laugh and cry in the same moment. We got to do that. We got to bring the way that we know how to live, really.
Che, main whakaro, thank you.
It's like there's this expectation that it should, you know, and the same way sometimes, I think, you know, Pākehā gets so upset about Waitangi Day, well, not just Pākehā, you know, non-Māori, whatever. It's like, why is there not, why, what's wrong with making space to air our grievances, air the things that we're unhappy with while celebrating? Like, it's like, it's not an either or. I love that whakaro.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, Jordan, thank you so much for joining us for our very first podcast.
I appreciate you guys having me. Thank you.
That was mean. I mean, you've come once now. We're going to have to ask you back again at some point. Sorry. It's just how it works.
Ka pai.
I feel like you've got a new idea for a video, even a series, like little, well, obviously COVID permitting, like little tour, little hiding around the south.
That was a great, I just imagined it, eh? I just imagine going to those places. Paraparam.
Start an Ōrākei.
Yeah.
Aku mihi kia koutou. Thank you so much, Jordan, for being our first guest on our podcast. You can go and find her on Instagram. It's Jordan with a Y. Give her a like. You're not going to regret it. Thank you to my co-hosts, Mariana and Te Kuru. A massive shout out to our producer, Te Aihe. Also, thanks to Te Aihe and Marka Pohatu for our awesome theme music. It's made me very unhappy about being in lockdown and not having sing-alongs in the garage with my mates. Massive shout out to Zoe Hall for our artwork, for the Nair artwork. Come and find us on Instagram so you can see her incredible work. We are Nair Te Ao Māori Podcast on Instagram. And check back in 2 weeks' time on your favourite podcast provider where we'll have a new episode for you. Until then, hei ākua nei.
Nair is public interest journalism funded through New Zealand On Air and brought to you by the Spinoff Podcast Network. It was hosted and researched by Leonie Hayden, with Te Kuru Jews and Mariana Johnson. Nair was produced by Te Aihe Butler, with senior production from Jane Yee and project management from Mark Kelleher. Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spinoff Podcast Network.